Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm airing an interview with storyteller Dan Leary. Dan is here in Sarasota as part of the Sarasolo Festival. The Sarasolo Festival, as its name implies, is dedicated entirely to performances by one person, solo performances. The Sarasolo Festival takes place on the last weekend in January and the first weekend in February. Dan will be appearing on Sunday the 4th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at Crocker Memorial Church. In this interview, Dan is telling us how he arrived at the work of being a storyteller. You will hear him talk about the fact that his mother made up stories for him in which he actually starred from the very beginning of his life. And it's a charming and adorable story, and I'm sure it will make you want to come out and see all of the characters that Dan has created in his solo performance called The Sleeping Child. Hang on, here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down survive, finding wisdoms otherwise. Oh, you really can. And it's always there, like a silent from nowhere, sitting in my own soft lap, with all the time for us to chat, and my resources all on tap. Oh,
The Lynn Show. The Lynn Show is about being the person you really are, not the person you think you have to be, not the person other people seem to be, not the person other people tell you you need to be, not even the person someone told you you were, or the person you may currently think of yourself as. No, the person you really are. As a therapist, I see over and over again people who are hiding aspects of themselves, and ironically, not only from us, but from themselves. Unfortunately, childhoods often convince a person that something about him or her is unattractive or dangerous or ugly, and children are quite able to pretend that this thing is not actually true of them. And for many, the pretense becomes so much a part of them that they come into adulthood having forgotten, being in denial for some significant aspects of themselves. In my show, I interview people who make their living or their life within art, because when you hear them talk about it, you can hear what it sounds like to be the person you really are. And in this case with Dan Leary, it is particularly interesting because Dan is not only speaking as himself, he is speaking as his characters. And his performance for Sarah Solo is his creation of three characters who tell a particular story. And I'm not going to say any more about that because Dan obviously tells it much better than I do. And so now here is Dan Leary. Okay, so I'm here with Dan Leary. And I'm interviewing Dan because he's going to appear at the Sarah Solo Festival. And what is it that you're doing?
Well, I am doing a one-man show with three characters entitled The Sleeping Child.
I want to hear all about it, but let me tell you that I interview people who make their living or their life with an art. Clearly, that is true of you.
Indeed.
Would you say that the art to which you are giving your life and or making your living is the art of performance, singing, dancing, acting, writing? What would you say?
I'm a storyteller.
So that's the art that defines you.
Yes.
You tell me the very first time in your life when storytelling appealed to you, either that others told you, or you told them, or that you heard or observed. Do you know?
I do, actually.
Please tell me.
Yes. Oddly enough.
Yes?
This will show up again in my play.
Okay.
Because it's based in part on the stories that my mother would tell.
Wow.
When I was a wee small lad. She would tell the tales of the youngest of King Arthur's knight, Sir Daniel Duloc de Sylvia.
Really?
Yes, yes. Sir Daniel lived in a castle in the woods beside the lake. Thus, Duloc de Sylvia.
Oh, amazing. So hold on a second. How old are you when this is going on?
Three.
And you remember, right?
Oh, yes.
Very well.
Because the Sir Daniel stories continued on, you know, through my childhood. But all growing up, I was Sir Daniel.
And you were.
Oh, I?
Oh,
of course
God,
I was.
Of course, Sir Daniel. I'm sorry, I just got it.
Yes. But Sir Daniel had amazing adventures, and he helped fight giants and, well, befriend dragons and aid damsels in distress. And the damsel voted most likely to be in distress in the Sir Daniel stories was one of the ladies of the lake, Lady Phyllis, my sister.
Oh, amazing. Are you older or younger?
I have one younger sister and one older brother.
Okay, so Phyllis was the baby girl?
Yes.
Who you were going to have to save.
I would have to go save because...
Because mommy told you.
Yes.
Essentially, right.
She was in some sort of distress.
Oh, it's amazing. So you fell in love with the stories themselves, how you felt with the stories that your mother was telling you. What do you think?
I like the stories, and I like them pretty much in whatever form they're told.
Mm-hmm.
So I love storytelling.
Yes.
But I also love to read because... Mm.
There are stories there.
Books are filled with stories, and yes. I absolutely love to read them. I was reading probably chapter books by kindergarten.
Wow.
So... We had a lovely elementary school, and in my kindergarten classroom, if you were really good during the week, you would get the chance at nap time, instead of having to spread your mat on the floor, you could curl up in the big clawfoot bathtub that was filled with pillows and painted pink, and you could read during nap time.
This was the reward, reading?
Yes.
What a clever teacher.
I loved it. And she kept a very close tab on how many times each student would get to read in the bathtub. And of course, every student eventually got there. As some of them, it was, you were so good at sitting still today. But she had a wonderful way of
picking
something for each child.
Yeah, so everybody felt that they deserved reward, and the reward was reading. Oh, we should all have teachers like that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so... You wouldn't be thinking in kindergarten that you would try to make a life with storytelling, would you?
Well, probably not.
So what happens then? I mean, you know, if you fall in love with the piano or drawing, then they take you to music class, or they take you to art class or something. Well, there's not a corollary for that, is there?
Well, not exactly. But I also fell in love very early with dance.
Ah.
So I started ballet at 8 or 9. At age 14, was accepted into the Radford University dance program.
Wow.
And that was wonderful. And continued until a tragic tree falling accident ended that. Unfortunately, gravity and ballet don't work together that well.
Oh, I'm sorry. That must have been a terrible disappointment.
It was a saddening thing, but I got over it.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. So are you saying that dance was in the forefront?
It was. I see dance as yet another way to tell a story. And more than the music or the movement, it's the story that you tell.
Okay, so at some point, you must have started creating stories.
Well, I did. When I was in high school, I was involved in an Appalachian Studies program, and we studied folk songs and folk stories. And my role in the group was the storyteller. We had wonderful musicians and really good singers, and I did not fit into either of those categories well. So I did the stories.
Were you at that point thinking, I want to do this? Or were you thinking, did you have something else that you wanted to be or do when you grew up?
Well, I still haven't figured out what I want to do when I grow up.
I see.
We had the great privilege of inviting storytellers and performers to come and perform at our high school. So I got the chance to meet some folks who made their living telling stories, singing songs. And it was early enough that I realized, well, it's possible to do this.
Yeah, I've been sitting here thinking, how would anyone know that? And so we have the serendipity of the fact that people come and demonstrate for you that it can be done.
Yes.
This is not common.
I have come to realize that.
Absolutely.
I eventually went off to school, studied radio, television, broadcasting. Mm-hmm. So I have a BS in BS. Then went off and joined the Army and took Uncle Sam's grand tour of the world.
Wow, really?
For about 10 years. Got to see some amazing places. And then came back to Virginia to help my dad run his business. So I've taken over that from him. And I do my storytelling and stage work as a way to stay somewhat sane.
Yeah, whenever you can,
yes,
is what I'm imagining, right?
Yes. By day, mm-hmm, I play the role of a storekeeper.
I see. And then you come out at night. Well,
naturally.
right. Okay, so where else have you done this?
Well, I do some work back home in Virginia. I'm on the board as artistic director for New River Stage, and we're a small regional theater. And I also work with Warm Hearth Village, which is a lovely retirement community, and I work closely with their events department. These have been a wonderful chance to kind of get out and try pieces of my
playing. So you perform, right?
Oh yes, I perform, but I also help to produce.
All right. So how did you find out about Sarasolo?
Well, I came to the Sarasolo Festival last year to help my friend Heather Massey, mm-hmm, who has a one-woman show about Hedy Lamarr. And I came down to run sound and carry things and open doors and, mm-hmm, do whatever
roadie
things. Yes, I was the roadie. That's it.
That's right.
And I happened to sit in on a playwriting workshop
with
Blake Walton. Mm-hmm. And it was a wonderful thing. And at the end, Blake assigned me to go forth and write a play. And so I did.
That hadn't occurred to you before?
It had not, at least not to do a full show.
Right.
I'd been writing pieces, and most of my work is short stories, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Short story, a song, and then...
Do you sing?
Well, I do now. All through school, I was never allowed to sing because I have a range of one octave, and it's way at the bottom end of the keyboard. But several years ago, the organist at my church was lamenting the fact that her voice was dropping, and she could no longer sing even in a low alto range. So I happened to have my string bass with me one day.
Because you play?
I play the string bass. That's only one note at a time. I can handle that. But I played a duet with her, and we sang together down in the lower registers. And she had so much fun with that that I decided, although sometimes only whales can hear me sing, I'm going to sing all the same.
Well, you do a lot of things. You didn't say anything about learning to play the string bass.
Well, that was the only way I was able to do anything with the music group in high school, because we had guitars and banjos and dulcimers and fiddle, and all of those folks are doing things with left hand and right hand, and I got really confused. So I picked up the string bass, because I can play one note at a time, and so for the first number of years, I played thump, 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 and that was all.
And it was great, because you could be part of it.
I could be part of it.
You could be part of it. Okay. Yes. All right, so last year, you got enthused about writing a play.
Yes, indeed.
And I'm assuming you wrote one.
I did. I actually started writing it on the drive from Sarasota back home to Virginia.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's about 14 hours drive.
Right.
And I would stop every few minutes.
And write it down.
Write down a little bit more. I have an app on my phone where I can speak and it will type.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some most interesting typewritten responses.
Yes, I'm sure.
To whatever it was,
it was you
I
thought
had
you were
said.
Saying, right? We all have had that experience, yes.
So I started writing it on the trip back, and I figured that since what I know is storytelling and vignettes,
mm-hmm.
that was what I would do for my play. So it is indeed a series of stories and songs that I remember from my childhood. Because, you see, in addition to having Sir Daniel's stories, I also had my own bedtime song.
Oh, my goodness.
I was the only one of the three children.
This was a question I hadn't asked yet. Why is this? Do you know?
Well, because I was the favorite child.
I see.
I know this.
I see. They must have too.
Well, yes. But you see, I was the only one with my own stories my own song.
Oh my goodness.
The downside to it is that my mother also is completely tone deaf. So it was interesting when she would sing to me at night.
But you are not. So did you know that it was odd what she was singing?
Well,
I was
three, so I thought that's how it was supposed
yes,
to be.
Yes, I'm sure that's right. Okay, so it's a whole piece.
It is indeed. I call it a character study. And in part, it's a chance for me to play with some of the characters that live inside my head.
Yes.
And bring them out and let you all see them.
Yes. They made up some of the vignettes that you've written over the years or not?
Yes, a little bit. Well, I have some new ones. One of the characters that you'll meet is indeed the sleeping child. And in my mind, child is asleep, but dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And as dreams do,
things
it goes
happen.
This way and that way.
Yeah,
and
right.
Twirls and swirls, and we have lots of fun with it.
Yeah. Okay, so you used characters that you were familiar with from before, and you came up with new ones for this piece, right?
Yes. One of the characters that you'll meet is my carnival talker, and he is the slightly insane portion of me that I try to keep tucked away as best I can.
Except
occasionally I'll let him come play.
Yes, right, right. So this has given you an opportunity to explore not only the characters that you were familiar with, but maybe to imagine a wider range of characters. Is that accurate?
Yes, indeed. Actually, the first character that came to me before I knew what the play would be about was the carnival talker. And I thought it so interesting to give voice to the madness that we all have within us. Then have a little bit of a play between the madness and the face that we show.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. So how many characters?
There are three major folks.
The carnival talker, the
carnival,
sleeping child.
And the storyteller. The storyteller is me. Well, all of them are me.
Yes, right.
So the storyteller is the public face. As I'm describing the characters in my notes to myself, the storyteller knows that there is an audience and speaks to the audience, but his primary mission is to tell the story. The sleeping child doesn't know there's an audience.
Mm-hmm.
the sleeping child is dreaming and has his animal friends with him. And he certainly talks to them, but he doesn't know that anyone else is out there. And the carnival talker, well, he knows that there's an audience. Because if there is no audience, there can be no talker. And he thrives on interaction with the audience. And one of the things that I've had great fun with, and with my storytelling, has been stepping between the narrator character and
the character characters.
And one of the ways that I do this is with very simple props. In a moment, you will hear the carnival talker come out, because I have in my hand a brown bowler hat, and on the side of the bowler hat, a peacock feather, and a medallion of a tree. And I can tell you about this right now, because I'm not wearing the hat. Oh, but when the hat comes on, the character comes out, and we have so much more fun, because now, well, now I can say anything at all, and it will be perfectly in character.
Oh, that's delightful.
So it's wonderful fun, because, as you can see, I took the hat back off again.
Yes, right, and now we have the storyteller.
Yes. This is also a technique that I used doing some radio plays, just as a way for me, as an actor,
yes,
to step between characters. Because, again, I was on the radio, so you... No one else could see.
No.
But I would have a series of hats lined up, and whichever hat I put on, I would put the character on with the hat.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, so what is your piece called?
This piece is called The Sleeping Child.
The Sleeping Child gets top billing.
He gets top billing because everything that happens in this show is in the mind of the sleeping child.
Ah, it's part of his dream.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
And the sleeping child is the first character in a series of sideshow characters. The sleeping child is here in a tent, and he'll be introduced by the talker.
It's your very own sir. Oh,
yes, absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely. There will be some follow-on stories eventually, mm-hmm, about some of the other characters. The world's tallest dwarf. The world's shortest giant. We have identical twins inhabiting the same body. And the invisibly tattooed man. Oh, he is amazing. His skin is a canvas.
Wow.
The tattoos of living ink that you cannot see.
Oh my God. So these are all characters you've already developed, but we're not going to see them in this piece.
We'll not see them. They'll be hinted at.
So the sense I got was that you had not been thinking about creating something like this until you took that playwriting class. Is that accurate?
Well, that is correct, yes.
Yes, and now that has opened up an area for you to develop that's really growing, right? And giving you all kinds of ways to express this storytelling talent that you have.
Absolutely. And I early on decided that it would have to include some poetry, because my mother is quite a poet and has recited poetry since I was smaller than a pickle. So I'm apt to just break into Dr. Seuss at most any time. And as I was pulling together the pieces, I discovered a couple of my mother's poems that address many of the pieces, and loved the way that her poems, which were written 40, 50 years ago, so perfectly match the story that I was telling. What I love about these stories is, although the characters are different, the stories themselves are the same stories that were passed down from grandfather to grandson, grandfather to grandson, and through my mother to me, just told in new form.
When is your performance?
The performance will be February the 4th at 3 o'clock, the Crocker Memorial Church. This is part of the Sarah Solo Festival.
Perfect. So the other question I ask is, having dedicated so much of your life to the whole idea of and the telling of stories, is there anything you would say about what that's like?
The biggest thing with the stories that I just love is that they are so universal. In studying Appalachian folk tales, we find stories that mirror the stories of Native Americans, the stories of African Americans, of Europeans of all different areas, and the same story, whether it be with Jack or with Jacques or with someone completely different.
Yeah.
But the same story shows up throughout all the different cultures.
Yeah. It's lovely. And that's a great place to stop. And I'm looking very much forward to seeing it. And so thank you very much, Dan Leary.
Thank you for having me.
So I hope that when you were listening to Dan, you were asking yourself, is this how I feel about the things that I do in my life? Do I have that passion, that energy, that excitement? Am I the person I was meant to be? Well, if the answer is yes, I'm very happy for you. But if the answer is either no, or I'm not sure, or there was something I wanted to do but somehow never got around to it, or there are qualities that I wish I had but somehow I can't manufacture them, it may not be too late to find some things which you had to hide from yourself. And if you want to talk to me, please go up on my website, thelynnshow.com. That's THELYNNE. Don't leave the E out of Lynn. thelynnshow.com. There's an email tab. You can click it and ask me any questions that you'd like. I will be happy to hear from you. As always, I hope you got something you can use from this show. Something that tickled you, something that amused you, something that inspired you, something that's going to bring you out to see Dan's performance at Sarasolo or some of the other wonderful performers, and something that'll bring you back because I will be back next week, same time, same station, and I sure hope you will be too.
You see, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage, let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes, I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight. No, no, we will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper. Singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So you won't hear me simper. I may have got to